सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। गुरुर्ब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णुः गुरुर्देवो महेश्वरः गुरुरेव परं ब्रह्मा तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
Repeat after me.
Chidadiptihi pushpam.
Chidadiptihi pushpam.
Chidadiptihi pushpam.
Chidadiptihi pushpam.
Pushpam, yesterday we saw that's an offering. That offering which is done while we introduce the glories of the Lord to our own mind. It is not to rush through the process, but to go through the... Sunai nahi jara? Okay. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Once only. So, chidadiptihi pushpam. Pushpam is the sugandha. Sugandha transforming the durvasana into samskara, which is sugandha, and that best of the best is offered at the feet of the Lord. The offering is to be done in such a way that both aspects are finally given up. Both vikara and samskara are given up. Vikara is given up by inculcating samskara. And samskara is given up by dedicating it at the altar of Paramatma. And that is when chidadiptihi, a constant awareness of that glory which has been introduced into the mind is ascertained and then maintained. That consistency to maintain that thought. Whether I'm interacting with people, things, beings, various situations, I see the glory of the Lord in every form. There is not a plant, there is not a creature, there is not a being, there is not a situation which can be disqualified as not divine. Otherwise, mind is constantly working in putting everything in polarities. It has the system of bifurcating every situation into two things. It has to tag it into one or the other. Either they have to be good or they have to be bad. Constantly that is the effort. Winter season, winter is bad. summer season, summer is bad. Rainy season, rain is bad. Constant commentary, kich pich, constantly. Because we have to constantly be branding everything around. The world around, the experiences around, is to find divinity and not to bifurcate them into polarities of good and bad. Dvandvatitaha. To find that awareness or consciousness wherein I am tuning myself to that divine aspect. Good and bad is purely convenience. And that which is good for me may not be good for you. That which is good for you may not be good for me. That which I have defined as good for myself may not be good for me in a different circumstance. It keeps changing. There is no permanency of definition for good and bad. But there is absoluteness about divinity. And that divinity has to be cognized in and through every experience. Chidadiptihi, to carry that abidance of awareness everywhere. And after the pushpa is offered, there are two steps in the puja vidhi which took me a while to understand. Because the rest of it, the sequence is very easy to put two and two together. It was Deepa and Dhupa. Why just before food you have to light a lamp and then put the incense sticks? What has it got to do? Then later realized on a funnier note. Because that is when the kitchen is getting ready. So that our mind does not get distracted with all these, you know, smells from the kitchen. Therefore, light a stick so that we stay focused. Another subtler aspect of Mahatma said that even ghrana, is smell. Smelling the food before it is offered would be considered as uchishta. Therefore, cover it with the incense so that whatever is offered as the purest that can be offered. In the most practical sense, I understood it very late. When I was taken to a very upscale restaurant. So it was like those different courses of meals, and between each course there is a dollop of some sorbet or something given wherein it cleanses your palate so that you can enjoy the next round. So the first thing that they do is, as soon as you get seated, they light a lamp, and just on the lamp there is a little dish kind of a thing wherein there is an oil essence or something constantly burning. So they create an ambience. Whether the food is good or not, the ambience is good. So they create an ambience so that the mind is pleasant, welcoming the next experience. And food is the only thing that goes in as an external material inside to be assimilated, and when that is to be assimilated, it has to be done in a very pavitra environment. And we may not understand that because most of us are dashboard eaters. You know, breakfast dashboard. Have I shown you my mudra? I'm not a dancer, but have I shown you some of my technical mudras? What is this mudra? There are three mudra, three in one here.
Driving coffee and
A bucket of coffee. It's never a small one. It's always that big. A bucket of coffee, a cell phone, and then uh, Amma is looking, she is a dancer. She is saying, what mudra is he going to do? This is my patented mudra. Everything has to be on the dashboard. No, that is the only thing that goes in as an external material which forms the internal matter, including the mind. So take it with utmost pavitrata, purity. So the environment has to be created wherein the mind is pleasant when you offer it to the Lord. So Deepaha is offered. And here he says, the Rishi here says, Suryatmakatvam Deepaha Suryatmakatvam Deepaha Surya Atmakatvam. There are various standpoints in which Surya is very significant. It is a very life force. Therefore, he is also called Surya Narayana. Why is he the life force? He brings in both light and heat. He nourishes the entire plant kingdom, which supports and gives life to all other creatures. That's a basic life force. He also, Bhagavan Surya, is mentioned Bhagavad Gita, Mundaka Upanishad and various other Upanishads, is that the seeker goes in the Surya Marga to not return back again. And those who are bound to return, they go through the Chandra Marga. So that is said in Bhagavad Gita as Uttarayana and Dakshinayana. So Surya Marga and Chandra Marga. Very clearly, there is no discrepancy, there is no confusion. It is not like Atlanta downtown where you get confused. It is a well laid out path that there is Surya Marga for those who are not to return and there is Chandra Marga. The Surya Marga is also called the Uttara Marga. Uttara means Uttarati. One meaning is north. But a deeper significant meaning is Uttarati. That which takes to the highest abode. Uttamam. The highest. Tara is to flow or to attain. Through tarane. So to attain to the highest. And what is the highest that can be attained? That which we are focusing on is that self-realization. So here it says, Surya Atmakatvam Deepaha. See, we can meditate or bring in the discipline to meditate, and our efforts of meditation are limited by time and space. I am a meditator trying to be in that equipoise during that half an hour or 40 minutes effort. And Gurudev was very merciless in putting the truth out. He used to say, in half an hour effort of trying to sit and meditate, even if for 30 seconds mind is quietened, you have progressed. To reach to that quietude within. But then it is limited to that time and space. If that half an hour has to be impactful, the other 23 and a half hours should be trained and tuned in such a way that half an hour is beneficial. You know, in the earlier days, there was a clock which had a winding system, spring inside. It would literally scare you out of the bed, like a fire engine in the morning. So you have to wind it, there's a spring. And in the morning, whenever you have set that alarm, it unwinds itself. So our spirituality is like that unwinding process. And usually, when do we have our spiritual dose? Weekends. Therefore, our spiritual effort is weekend spirituality. It has to be strengthened. So the regularity has to be brought in. A regularity of consistency, everyday practice. And that everyday practice wherein all through the day whatever I am doing has to gear me towards that half an hour of effort. If half an hour I am trying to unwind and rest 23 and a half hours, I am winding it up again. Even mathematically, what is the net result? 23 hours of winding. Half an hour of, 1 hour of self-cancelling effort. So you unwind and it gets wound up again. So to the death, 23 and a half hours continuously focusing. That all my efforts that I am putting, whether I am interacting with people or various responsibilities, duties, obligations that I am trying to disperse all around me, every single moment has to be catered in such a way that that half an hour gets benefited with this 23 and a half hours. Do we work that way? For us, spirituality is one aspect of chore, of to-do list, along with the rest of them in the list. Sometimes we are very sincere to feel bad even. You know, I missed my meditation today. And you carry the guilt forward. But instead, make sure that the rest of the life is geared towards. Now, you have to drive from here to, this is what, East Coast? Or closer to East Coast?
Southeast.
Southeast. So, if you have to drive all the way from here to, say,
Savan.
Okay, thank you. I don't know the geography here, so. Thank you. I was thinking Alabama, but Savan is fine. So what is the highway that you take? You have to tell. Who knows, Swamiji, whatever the GPS says. 20. You say 75. 20. Oh, 16. He says 20.
I got 20 and that takes 70.
Okay. Just to have a same alignment. Okay. How many hours does it take from here to Savana? That is the age difference. He said 4, he said 5. There's a clear age difference. Probably I would be with you. So when you start driving from here to Savana, that 5 hours of journey, is it necessary that every single minute and second has to be in that same direction, or sometimes you can have a deviation of some other way and then get back?
I mean, in the sense that you can go sightseeing.
Then it will not be 5 hours.
So, that's true.
So, the stipulation that it has to be 5 hours, Every single minute has to be geared towards that direction. Even if you take a break, rest area, it is in the same direction towards where you are aiming for. When we get into the world, every single effort is taking us away from that spiritual core within, and we come back onto the seat of meditation struggling to bring it back to that core. Shouldn't every single effort outside also be trying to root ourselves into that self within? That conscious effort wherein every single moment, every single effort, every single interaction with whatever I am responsible for is performed with that awareness of being rooted in the self. That is the intensity that is required. In various, in Narada Bhakti Sutra and other places, it says, tat shravanam, tat kathanam, anyonyam tat prabodhanam, tat kathanam, tat shravanam. You know, you hear about it, you speak about it, you discuss about it, you constantly are gearing towards the constant awareness of that, you know, rooting in the self, rooting in the core of our own being. That is the main priority. Rest of it is born from there outside. That entire mindset has to be changed. Then every aspect of our life becomes a spiritual effort. One of the efforts today is spirituality also. But what is he talking here? Suryatmakatvam. Everything has to be towards that uttara, to uplift ourselves towards that direction. It has to be consciously done. It is not by mistake. It's not going to happen all by itself. That as I'm involved in everything, everything has to be tuned towards that alone. And that should be the priority. Meaning, anything that takes me away from spirituality, that getting to the core of my own essential being, if I am sincere about that, if getting to the core of my being is my sincerity that I should get there, anything that takes me away from there, doesn't it get dropped naturally? If that intensity is that strong, do you think the little weak organs of perception action can draw you out into something which is unessential? Yes, and an initial seeker, you give them the purposefulness. Have shama, dama, uparama, titiksha, saddha, samadhana. Control your mind, control your organs of perception, action, put in a discipline, put in a consistency. But once that intensity is intensified, do you think these organs of perception, action, mind will have any capacity to deviate us from the path? Wherever we are interacting, that takes spirituality to a newer height. That wherever I am, whatever I am doing, it becomes spirituality. And then sit on the seat of meditation to refocus on the core of my own existence. To get into that silence, to get into that quietude within, becomes an effortless task. Otherwise, we are struggling to pull ourselves, the mind out, and then sitting there constantly agitated, constantly. And we feel that as I sit on the seat of meditation, my agitations increase. Therefore, I give up meditation. Why rest of the time my mind seems to be fine? On the seat of meditation it is agitated. There is something wrong with meditation. No, the wrongness is not in meditation, it is lack of preparation in the 23 and a half hours. Spiritualize that as well. That is called the true focus on Uttara, that every effort is to uplift oneself. Continuing. Repeat the next mantra after me. Paripurna Chandra Amrita Rasaiki Karanam Naivedyam Paripurna Chandra Amrita Rasa Eki Karanam Naivedyam. This is the most interesting part of the entire puja. That you offer Nivedanam. Nivedanam is offering. Offering the best of that which you have is offered. I was once with a group of Balavihar kids on a picnic. It was on a beach, on an ocean front. And this boy, young ones, 3-4 years old, so this boy and girl, brother and sister, they were playing house, you know, some kind of a home kind of thing. So they had built a home in the sand. And she had taken the role of being a mother. And he had taken the role of being a father. So he comes in from the office. So puts bag on side, shoes one side. I've been watching from distance. Khane ke liye kuch hai? Anything to eat? So she serves. You know, takes his hand, puts sand. Two, three lumps of sand on his hand. And she says, you know, yesterday's vegetable, today morning's puri, and some chutney. So he looks at it very pathetically. He suddenly disconnects himself from that role of being a husband or a father there. He disconnects. And then he suddenly starts communicating to his sister. And in utter frustration, he throws that and says, after all, you are putting sand on my hand. Can't you say garam garam jalebi, garam garam pakodi, garam garam puri? Yesterday's, day before yesterday's. She said, if it is your pure power of imagination, ka daridrata? Why do you have to be stingy and miserly in your imagination? It's your power of imagination, then imagine really high. That whatever you are offering, O Lord, see, the Lord is, he says in Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati. Whatever you offer, I am ready. And what I see is not what you are offering, but the intensity with which you are offering. If he really were to eat everything that we give, do you think anything that we give will be sufficient? Nothing we give will be sufficient. It is the attitude, it is the intensity of that attitude. In the Bombay ashram while studying, in the temple, you know, every day there was Narayan Seva, so we would go to the temple. The temple was one of the temple and kitchen were the dreaded ones. Because when I was studying, we did not have a sophisticated kitchen. It was still those huge vessels. And 5-6 of us were really tall, and we would invariably one of us get that. Because to wash that, somebody has to be inside that to scrub it. It was that huge. It was temple duty, and the temple duty was dreaded because all those brass things, huge ones, they have to be kept polished. So I was polishing that, and there was an argument between the Panditji and some devotee who had brought in something to be offered to the Lord. And the Pandit was very orthodox. So Pujariji, the Nambudri there, he was very orthodox. And he was having a huge argument. He said, no, we offer only fruits, flowers and such things. What are you trying to offer? And I looked, what was he offering? So there was a Cadbury 5-star. There was, cookies. And there was, something from the market. He had just gathered few things from the market and trying to give. But the argument that he gave was so heartwarming. He said, poor Lord has been given these fruits or nuts or things that he has created himself. And the whole creation is his. So what is fun in eating those things that he has himself created? Let us feed him that which we have, envisioned. Probably he has never tasted these new tastes. Let him have a change and taste this beautiful thing. So I said, just for that intensity, I jumped in and I took all those things. I said, okay, I love that intensity of the person. And he wanted to give Lord something which, he has given us all this. We have transformed it. Lord, taste it. Our offering to you. The attitude was amazing. So it is the attitude and the intensity of the attitude which matters. So here it is said, Paripurna Chandra Amrita Rasaiki Karanam. The best of the best that I can afford is being offered as Naivedya, Nivedana, offering. And what is that? Paripurna Chandra Rasa Eki Karanam. See, after we get through the initial stages of mind not focusing, mind not being on track, mind deviating, once the seamless energy of the mind is tapped in, Manaha Chandra Swarupaha. Mind is nothing but the moon. That is why when there is a full moon, the lunar impact is called lunatic. That is the highest impact. On a full moon day, it goes on a high. On a new moon day, we go on a low. Similar tides within. But once that mind has become accessible, the entire resourcefulness and strength of it, Paripurna Rasa Eki Karanam, the entire rasa of the core of our own existence has been concentrated into one focal point. That concentrated focal point is the true Nivedanam for the Lord. That it is alert, it is awake, but unless I ask it to move, it doesn't move. That is the availability of the mind. We have tried to control everything else except our own mind. I had gone into this house and they had this huge Alsatian dogs. very cruder looking, very intimidating dogs. After taking to this path, I have never regretted being in this path except for that moment. Because I thought that if I were wearing pants, probably I had a better chance to escape and run, or at least climb that gate. I was literally shivering under my dhoti. And the host, he immediately calls these dogs, whatever names that were, two of them. They're like Bhadrakali Rupa. And suddenly he calls them and says, "Sit!" And both dogs. And usually when you throw a cookie or something at the dog, what do the dogs do immediately? They pounce on it and finish it. He threw pieces of some kind of a bone or something in front of it. They are looking at it. The tongue was out there and you could see it drooling, dripping. I won't touch it. And he just first, you know, some pleasantries were exchanged. And as he was showing me inside, then he snapped his finger and pointing that finger towards those dogs. And he did this and he said, and then they started getting to that food. I said, "Man, what a control on those beasts. That you can control the beast with something that is so inviting, that it is drooling, and yet it would not touch because it is not commanded to do so." And here is our mind, that we have absolutely no command over. Paripurna Chandra Rasa Eki Karanam. The mind with its multifocal point is running here and there to patiently bring all these various aspects into one focal point and then merge that into that silence, into that quietude. Before we merge it, all its various hangovers has to be drawn in. Rasa Eki Karanam. For understanding this multifocal point, it is a lifetime effort wherein we have to understand the pattern of our own mind and then break, mend, change various patterns. And then gain that accessibility, that it is wholesome at all points. That wholesome existence of mind at a given point of time, rasa eki karanam. And it is paripurna, not fragmented. That state of our own internal existence would be the true Nivedana. Why talk of Lord and us? If you are sitting trying to talk to your husband or children or wife or whoever it is, and they are busy in their text messaging or in something else, what is your statement? How do you snap at them? I know you will snap at them, but how do you snap at them? What is the immediate statement? Can you stop that? Listen up. Why? I want you to be paying attention to something else. Here, now, what I'm saying. Don't you do that? And if it is kids, it is even worse. Look here. Look into my eyes when I'm speaking to you. Speak loudly. And stop fiddling with those things. Why do you ask them to do all that? Let's be truthful to ourselves when we are sitting to establish ourselves in the core, and the mind is running here, mind is running there. Okay, one word of caution here. Do not try to stop the flow of mind, because that is what mind wants. That is what the ego identified with the mind wants. That to tussle with it, to fight with it. That is why it feels entertained. But instead, observe the flow. Do not comment on it. Do not try to evaluate the content of the thought. Just observe the movement. Defocus on it and observe the blur of that movement. It is not to be evaluated whether it is a good thought or a bad thought and what kind of content it is being carried. It doesn't matter. Don't evaluate, just observe. And why do the rishis talk about observing it? Thought is the subtlest expression of matter. Matter per se does not have the potentiality to move by its own. Consciousness has to touch, consciousness has to pervade, consciousness has to empower that matter to have movement. You, the consciousness, withdraw from it and observe it. What happens to that matter? It gets disconnected with that which is empowering it, and what will happen to that matter? It will not just stop, it will get annihilated the moment you observe truthfully. But in the pretext of observing, what do? We don't observe, we indulge. Is it a good thought or a bad thought? I'm sitting in meditation, how can I have bad thought? Who asked you to evaluate the thought? From that inner quietude perspective, it is immaterial whether it is a good thought, bad thought, or an indifferent thought. Any thought movement in itself is bad. Don't resist it, don't try to stop it. Observe it, withdraw from it, and the moment you consciously withdraw from it, what happens to that matter? Matter evaporates. And once you learn that skill, nothing in the world can create agitation or anxiety. Nothing. Anything that has any issue with, you sit there, observe it with your eyes closed, you focus on that and you withdraw from it. Instantly it will evaporate. However overwhelming the agitation be. Now once you reach to that level, then the next stage is, whenever you want that mind in whichever mode, you order it and it will be ready. You want it in sattvic state, it will be ready. You want it in a tamasic state, it will be ready. You want it in, you may wonder, why would I want my mind in tamasic state? Without having the mind in tamasic state, you cannot sleep. And that is also an invocation. To actively participate in life, you require rajasic nature of mind. So you need to focus on that. Withdraw and gain that accessibility. Do not fight it. Do not indulge in it in the pretext of observing it. Whatever be the content, doesn't matter. Step back and observe. almost to a point wherein you are devaluing the thought, its presence, and definitely its content. 100% discount. You like sale, right? I hear that people buy things not because there is a need, because it is on sale. So have a sale, have a discount. Devalue the thought, content, and its movement. You, the consciousness, when you step out, how can matter take over? I was just sitting in front of the plate, food suddenly started going into my mouth. Can it happen? You get the point, right?
Yes.
That matter is not powerful. Continuing. So after Naivedya is done, then you do the Pradakshina. Very important step. Nischalatvam Pradakshinam. Nischalatvam Pradakshinam. Pradakshina. Dakshina is something very strange. It is both in English language and in Sanskritam. You will find that when something goes sour, something goes bad, it is said going south. And going south is considered as Yamadvara. Yama, representative of death and limitation. Pradakshina. Pradakshina, that which removes any trace of limitation, death, and blocking our existence to thrive. All that which limits, those limitations, prak. Prak meaning that which are transcended. All limitations are transcended. How? Nishchalatvam. And Adi Shankaracharya ji has put this in a very beautiful shloka, and most of you know that shloka in Bhajagovinda. Ninth shloka of Bhajagovinda. Satsangatve nisangatvam, nisangatve nirmohatvam, nirmohatve nischalatatvam. People ask, you know, in science everything is measurable, everything can be timed, everything can be repetitive. Spirituality is not like that. Well, you don't take spirituality with the same sincerity as you take science. So I beg to differ. It is more scientific than science. Therefore, I don't use the word scientific, I use it's more spiritual. It's very precise. How do I know I am progressing in spiritual path? Because if I'm going on a path, what is it? Savana. What are the various markers that I have to cross? Various towns, cities, or whatever. Name two at least, please.
I've never been to Savannah.
We go to Augusta.
Augusta. Okay, Augusta Mahamuni. Okay, Augusta. Oh, this 285 shows that Augusta. It's the same thing?
Augusta.
Okay. My observation coming in. So you go through those markers. Similarly, in spirituality, what is the marker? to get to the quietitude or a quiet platform within, how accessible is it? However chaotic be the world, interaction with the world, or the various emotions or ideas, to step back in a inner altar wherein nothing of this can touch or enter. How quickly can you get to that quietitude within? Literally, you just drop and you reach to that place. From where you see everything. I am not animating it or exaggerating it, but literally you will see that it is slowed down in its pace. It's like happening in a slow motion all around. Because from there, even time doesn't seem to have an impact. That is nischalatvam. Nischalatvam, complete abidance wherein, in spite of the movement of world and worldliness, you are not shaken up from within. As long as we are part of this world, movement is a part of this world. Movement or change is a part of this world. But the beauty of this world can be enjoyed only when I am anchored at that platform of non-movement. So that nischalatvam is to pradakshina. Pradakshina means that which transcends all limitations. Dakshina is Yamadvara. Yama is the representative of all death and limitations, and therefore I am transcending all limitations. And how do I transcend these limitations? By finding that unshakable core within. Now here, another thing to note, even the mind is no more, we are talking from the standpoint of mind, we are not talking from the standpoint of mind. To put that, because mind is also world, mind is that chalatvam, so we are not talking about that matter envelope to be silent. But I am talking from the standpoint of consciousness which is silent, which is unshakable. What happened to the mind? It is at this stage that it merges into that silence to become one with the silence. With the sukshma buddhi, sukshmatva of the antakarana, all the agitations and doubts are removed. With the tikshnatva, the sharpness of it, all that which is, you know, limiting me is cut aside. And with the depth, I abide into that silence wherein there is not even a ripple. Ripple is again from the standpoint of the antakarana. But ripple state is from the standpoint of consciousness. So that is nischalatvam. That is true pradakshina. So how do you know you have reached that state? Whether it is still mind or you have reached that state. simple. As long as the effort is still in the mind level, we are calculating time. I sat for so long, I'm not able to sit for so long. How long should I sit? How do I know if I have completed 15 minutes of my meditation? Should I have an alarm? All the time concepts are transcended. In fact, you abide in this nischalatvam. All time and space is transcended. That's where many Mahatmas, their life, they said, Ramana Maharshi or Ramakrishna Paramahamsa or various Mahatmas, their life, when you read their life story, it is that there was a phase wherein for days together they were completely absorbed into that. They were not sleeping. Absorbed into that consciousness wherein they did not recognize externality of space or time that they were absorbed as. In fact, Ramana Maharshi is such long that he was sitting in that position for so long that there were these little worms in that cave or in that little dungeon inside. Patalalinga, near that Annamalai temple. That they started biting into his skin. They had left a scar and he was limping after that for the rest of his life. But he had no cognition of it. He had transcended the matter, he had transcended space, he had transcended time. Presently what happens? Every so often, you turn your watch, look at it. That is the effort. But there, once you get absorbed, there is no time, there is no space there. And once that happens, that you feel unbound, free from time and space, you understand that nischalatvam is where you are. There can be a feel-good similar situation. So, a disclaimer or a caution for you. Even when you are in deep sleep, it feels the same. Swamiji, today's meditation was so good, you know. No cognition of time or space. Or if you have hit that deep sleep and this nischalatvam, the two differences are, with nischalatvam, there is constant awareness. Whereas in the other kind of, you know, that is also seemingly nischalatvam, but it is jadatvam, because there is no awareness there. Jada, inert. So, nischalatvam pradakshinam. There are three more steps. These three steps are like the final experience. And the final experience, the Upanishad itself has said that the vachama gocharam, that which cannot be put in words. But still the Rishi is making a brave attempt at putting that experience in an explanatory word. So he says, what is the final namaskara? After pradakshina you do namaskara, right? What is the final namaskara? Soham bhavaha.
Soham bhavaha.
Namaskaraha.
Namaskaraha.
The final namaskara. Namaskara meaning na mama karaha. It's one meaning. There is this Siddhanta in Sanskritam wherein the actual word, when reversed, it gives the exact opposite but a Shrestha meaning. Manaskaraha, when reversed, it becomes Namaskaraha. meaning there is no more antakarana as a disturbance. Mahatmas who have realized will have antakarana, don't get me wrong. There is a functional aspect which will still be there. The unwilled aspect of antakarana is annihilated. And that is the true namaskara. And what is the true namaskara? Saha aham bhavaha. Pay attention here. It is not a japa. Soham, soham, soham. You are not doing japa. What does japa mean? A thought repeated again. Thought is already transcended. Even before nishchalatvam, thought is already transcended. The thought is still matter. Soham bhavaha is not a matter. Is not a thought wave or a concept. What is it? It is an immediate experience. Thoughtless experience. I have no other words to put it, therefore I am using the word experience. Otherwise it is not even an experiencer experience kind of a relation. That's why I call it immediate. There is no mediation of organs of perception, action, mind, intellect. Nothing needs to be cognizing that state or through which I experience that state. Therefore, that state of bliss is not a feeling. That state of bliss is not a concept. That state of bliss is not a conviction. So if you come out of meditation and you say, today's meditation, maja aaya. That means whatever you are doing was still in the matter state and it is as much become a bhoga vastu as much as your laddu or banana. Now there is a doership and it is enjoyership that is reflecting there. It's a very subtle thing that you have to understand right now. Soham bhavaha is not a thought. Am I getting across? It is not a concept, therefore it cannot be a thought. Did you understand that concept? As I said, some certain things cannot be put in words, it can be only understood as, if put in such patterns, then understand that you are not doing it right. Soham bhavaha namaskaraha. And what is the greatest stuti? The greatest stuti, he says, Parameshwara stuti.
Parameshwara stuti.
Maunam.
Maunam.
Maunavyakhya prakatita parabrahma tattvam yuvanam. Varsishtante vasadrishiganaihi avratam brahmanishtaihi. Mauna vyakya. Maunam, complete quietude. Shanti has got an opposite. The moment I said Shanti, she picked her head up. That is when I really know her name is Shanti. What is the opposite of Shanti? Not Ram Mohan. Opposite of Shanti is Ashanti. So you would observe, sometimes we have gotten used to Ashanti so much that absence of Ashanti is when we call it as Shanti. A good example would be that you've gotten used to the vent blowing in a workspace or home or wherever you are. The vent is constantly blowing and you have not been aware of it. When do you become aware of it? When it stops. And that is when you feel relief. Sometimes in some halls, big halls, you know, when I have to deliver a lecture or something, I have to tune myself to speak on a higher pitch than that vent sound. I tried it as an experiment. You speak in the same Shruti, even people with good hearing are like, oh, what did you say? You cannot hear it very clearly. You have to speak higher pitch. And it happens unconsciously. When do I become conscious of it? When suddenly the temperature has been, it reaches whatever temperature and then the vent stops, then suddenly I realize that I have been screaming. Then I suddenly lower my voice. With relief, of course. And that shanti is still vulnerable because it can be broken by various aspects into ashanti. So what is the thing that is being talked here as maunam? That prashanti which exists both in shanti and ashanti. That maunam, that inner quietude which exists both during shanti and ashanti, that which is beyond polarity alone is or can be non-vulnerable environment. Otherwise, it can be shattered, it can be broken. After putting all this effort to reach to something which is shattered, is not the intent. Is to transcend this polarity of shanti and ashanti. Is to reach to that maunam. And that is the true stuti of the Lord. Why is it the true stuti of the Lord? There is no more difference of devotee, devoted and devotion. It has culminated into oneness. And that is where is the experience of being God. On a funnier note, if you have questions like, why did God create this world? Hold it on a pause. When you reach this situation, whenever you hit this particular mantra in your own life, ask that question to yourself. Because you have reached oneness with that Supreme. See, when will a teacher, say music teacher, feel happy? When you bring good lunch, press their feet, iron their clothes. When? When the nuances which are being brought in by the teacher, the student is to not just learn but outshine what has been taught. Right? So what is it? That would be the greatest mark of accomplishment for that teacher. Music teacher. Here, what is the greatest stuti of the Lord? That you become one with that Paramatma here and now. That is His greatest glory. Then that seeker then becomes the very instrument wherein Lord is seamlessly expressing. That is the greatest stuti. Parameshwara stutihi maunam. And the final step is visarjana. Visarjana, you know, I think it was in BBC a year or 2 years ago, they covered Bombay Beach during Ganesh Visarjana. And there were two of them, two British BBC reporters. They said Hinduism and its cruelty was the heading. Because when you do the visarjana of Ganeshji, the next day, all the trunk and the pot belly and the legs and every limb can be found on the beach. A primitive religion with its barbaric attitude towards its own gods. That they worship this Ganesh for 9 days, and on the 10th day he is dumped into the ocean. When you're presenting something in a worldwide presentation, you better be good at your research. Otherwise you're doing mockery of a system. In any matter, a piece of matter, you invoke that consciousness from within into that matter and worship that matter as God. Therefore, I call Ganesha as the most accessible God. You can invoke him in a betel nut, in a lump of turmeric. You can invoke him in any form. You give a nice clay statue or whatever, you are taking it from nature. Invoke and do your puja for 9 days. Reinstall that Lord back into your heart. What is left behind is matter. And that matter is visarjita. Visarjita is given back to that nature from where you have taken that matter from. So that the nature is also in its balance. That is the idea behind visarjana. So what is the true visarjana? Sada santoshah.
Sada santoshah.
Visarjanam.
Visarjanam.
Sada santoshah.
Sada santoshah.
Visarjanam.
Visarjanam.
So what is visarjanam? To establish oneself in that contentment which cannot be shattered by any limitations anymore. If the goal is to refuse to be miserable, can't the path to that goal also be the same? Many people suddenly become very serious. I become spiritual. Why did you become spiritual? So that I can be happy. If the goal is to be happy, why should you carry a... Why be so serious? Enjoy the path. Because the final goal that you have to reach is ultimate bliss. I put on a nice... Why do you need to carry that attitude? Because that which you are aiming for is the greatest bliss. Sada santoshaha. In fact, Bhagavan says in Bhagavad Gita that Ma shuchaha. He repeats it so many times. That if you have come to the portals of Vedanta, you have lost your birthright to be miserable. Yes, we come into this world crying. Therefore, we think it is our birthright to continue crying. And you have come to the portals of Vedanta, you have lost that right. Therefore, refuse to be miserable, because being miserable is a choice. Nobody can force you to be miserable. Nothing can force you to be miserable. To be in misery is a choice. So what to do? I am so miserable. Continue. That's why when we come to the Lord, papoham, papakarmoham, papatma, papasambhava, you know, I am a sinner, and Bhagavan says, stop. For eternity you have been saying the same thing. You are that consciousness, you are that supreme. Instead, what is the abhyasa that we are doing? So if the goal is santosha, what should be the abhyasa to reach there? Should be santosha. So next four sentences it says, evam paripurnaha raja yoginaha, those seekers who follow these 16 steps daily with this understanding. Yes, yes. Sarvatmakatvam atmadharo bhavati. You realize the true essence of one's own being. Mumukshunam moksha eka sadhana siddhir bhavati. Mumukshunam, for all seekers, this becomes the true path, an immediate path of experiencing that which you are aiming through this spiritual unfoldment. Iti Upanishad. Iti Atma Puja Upanishad Samapta. We come to the beautiful conclusion of the great Upanishad that takes ordinary puja into a sublime thought of abidance in one's own true nature. Now imagine putting this into practice in daily worship. Every step means such beauty in it. So hopefully that God and Gurudev give us that stability of intellect to continue this path with clarity and consistency. Until when? That shouldn't be even a question. Until you reach there. How long? However long it takes. And the length of it is directly proportional to the intensity with which you pitch in. So it's in your hands. May God and Gurudev bless us to make it a reality in this very life. Om Shanta Shanta Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.